On behalf of the congregation, a special word of thanks to those who participants who led in worship this morning on the praise teams, and also in prayer this morning, so much appreciated. I must indicate to you, perhaps you can already discern that I'm dealing with a bit of a head cold this morning. This is a head cold. It's not COVID. I need to say that because they assume if you have one, you have the other as well. No, this is a head cold. And so I'll do the very best I can on this morning, but I'm eager to address you from God's word. And on this first Sunday in the year of our Lord, 2022, I want to reflect with you from the word of God on a race that each one of us is running. If we are in Christ, it's the Christian race. Some listening to my voice have run that race for many, many years, your entire lifetime. Others, it's been a lesser number of years. Perhaps you became a Christian somewhere along the way. But it's a race once begun that's going to end with the receiving of a prize, a crown, the crown of glory. We're going to hear the Apostle Paul this morning. He's one who, as you know, started that Christian race a bit later in life, after a time. He was one, the early part of his life, he was not a lover of Jesus. He did not follow Christ. And then you can read about this in Acts chapter 9, he was converted. And once converted, coming to faith in Christ, he developed a new passion in his life, a deep, deep desire. And it's spoken about in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read from that scripture in just a moment. But allow me to say, as you probably know, Paul uses different imagery as he writes. Sometimes he uses the imagery of a soldier. He says, fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And put on the whole armor of God. That's in Ephesians chapter 6. Soldier's language. Sometimes it's builder's language. 1 Corinthians 3, no other foundation, says the apostle, can one lay than that which is laid. And then sometimes there's what we might call farmer's language. Galatians chapter 6, whatever one sows, that will that person reap. But a favorite imagery of the apostle is that of the athlete. Paul must have attended many athletic events. Well acquainted, not those bowl games that we watched in recent days, that miserable performance of my favorite Wolverines on Friday evening, still recovering from that, but he was not a football fan, but no doubt involved with the Greek Olympic Games. And in particular, I suspect what was called the chariot race. You know, there was a little platform with a driver standing on it, two wheels on either side, pulled by two very fast horses. And the driver would lean forward and urge those horses on to run as fast as possible, trying to assist them to the winning of that race, to receiving the prize, which was a wreath, as well as a cash reward. And that reminded him of a Christian race. And he speaks about that. His race and ours as well in this new year. Philippians chapter 3. Let me read some verses here, beginning with verse 8. Actually, verse 7. The apostle says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Thus far, the reading from God's Word. Heavenly Father, this is a scripture no doubt we've read often before. We're quite familiar with it. And yet your Holy Spirit wants to, on this beginning Sunday of this new year, speak to us on how we are to run a winning race for Jesus in this new year. And I trust that's the desire of every person hearing my voice today. So again, help us to put aside what's happened in the past week and the plans for the coming week and the coming year, and help us now to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to each one of us in Christ's name. Amen. Dear people of God, friends in Christ, let me begin by saying that Paul is not outlining the gospel in those verses I read and helping us understand how we are to be saved. No. Rather, his focus on how we are to live the saved race. In the Greek games, you had to be a citizen, and otherwise you couldn't compete. You didn't run that race to attain or to gain citizenship. No, you are already a citizen. As a citizen, you ran. In chapter 1, Philippians, Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. Already. And as such, we are called to run a winning Christian race. We've been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as those who are saved, there are goals that God would have each one of us meet. There is a person he wants us very much to become. There are rewards that he very much wants us to receive as his children, as those who are redeemed. And to that end, we as Christians are to run not just a race, but a winning Christian race. I so appreciate a book by Max Lucado with the title, Just Like Jesus. But the subtitle goes like this. It says, God loves us as we are, or God accepts us, or God saves us. But God doesn't want to leave us as we are. He wants us to become just like Jesus. Just like when he saves you, he has a desire for you that you become Christ-like. And Max Lucado has that wonderful book about that, Just Like Jesus. How are we to do that? Listen to the apostle speak. He's going to be kind of our coach, if I may put it that way, this morning. In the first key, and I trust you have an outline before you. Frankly, there's four D words there that I want to place before you. He says, in order to run a winning Christian race, we have to have a certain, what I call, dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. These words, verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. The all this there no doubt refers back to verses 8 through 10. It has to do with knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection, the sharing in his sufferings, the becoming like him. A good athlete, a good team, always believes that there is room for improvement, that they can do yet better than what they have done. They're not fully satisfied, fully satisfied. I think of some of the great ones. One of my favorites, Tom Brady, of course, but also a Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. They never believe that they've played their absolute best. They've had their best game ever, or they've golfed their best round ever. No, they believe that they could yet improve and do better. There may be a better game yet ahead or a better round yet ahead. In our spiritual life, in our walk with God, is there that partial dissatisfaction? Do we see room for improvement? Are we eager, hungry for that to take place? Do we want to know Jesus better than we now do, as the apostle did? Do you desire to become more like Jesus in year 2022? Is that the desire of your heart? Maybe the desire of David when he says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Sad to say, there are some athletes, they're very good at what they do, but they become somewhat stagnant, content, complacent, too satisfied in their present performance. And it shows. They kind of lose their edge, their appetite, their deep desire to do better than they're presently doing, to win a running race for Jesus. A partial dissatisfaction, I suggest, is a good thing, a good thing. And then the second D word, a devotion. Purposeful, pointed devotion. Verse 13, these words. Brothers, says the apostle, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it or yet to have arrived, but one thing I do. One thing I do. To run a winning race, you have to concentrate. You have to focus. You have to be devoted, to be fully devoted. The apostle says, chapter 1, for me to live, having been converted, for me to live is Christ, is Christ. That's what his living, frankly, was all about. His ambition was to become the very best Christian that he could possibly be, to be Christ-like. You see, God in his sovereign grace had taken hold of him. Paul marveled that one such as he, God had taken him and made him one of his followers, one of his redeemed, one of his children. He was so overwhelmingly grateful for what the Lord had done, and now he was devoting his energy to becoming the best child of God that he could possibly be. Are we devoted? Any athlete will tell you that you cannot do all things well, perform well in every sport. So often you may start with a whole range, but then you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice and devote yourself to the choice you've made in that particular sport, whatever it may be, to the practice of it, to the improvement of yourself in that sport. I want to suggest in life, we have to make choices too. That there are primary and there are secondary ambitions. Hopefully, our primary ambitions or goals, like with the apostle, are spiritual ones. That the rewards and the trophies we really covet and strive for, They're not earthly ones. That's all secondary. Our primary ones are eternal ones. Paul speaks, in fact, in verse 19 of this chapter, of some whose minds are way too much on the things of this earth. That's what they live for. And you can read that. He feels so sad for those people. He weeps over them or because of them. Because in the end, even though they may achieve so much, they have so little of what really counts. They may have high educational degrees. They may have great name recognition, incredible business expertise. They may have the power to make money, ranking position, this, that, and the third thing. But in the end, they have so little. They're losers, not winners, because they're living apart from Christ. One day, with that rich man in the Lazarus story, you can read about it in Luke chapter 16, there are going to be people who are begging, pleading for relief from the torment they're experiencing. I say this morning, living in this world, be wise. Be smart. Become and be a Christian. Be devoted to running a winning race. Develop the right kind of passions in your life so that you're partially dissatisfied and you're singularly focused, you're devoted to running for Jesus. And then the third word, he speaks about having a direction to his life, a proper direction. That's in verse 13, these words. He says, I live forgetting what is behind, straining toward what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind, straining for what lies ahead. And that is important advice or counsel if we're going to run a winning Christian race. I see it happening in sports all the time, and I love to watch sports. But maybe it's in a baseball game. The infielder may muff a ground ball that comes. Or the pitcher may frankly just pitch a bad pitch right over the heart of the plate and pays the results of that. In football, there is a fumble, or there is an interception, or there is a penalty. In basketball, maybe a wide open shot, and it's missed. Or there's just a plain dumb foul. You watch golf, and even the best can hit an errant shot, or miss such a sure putt, and I could go on. What are they going to do? It's happened. They can't undo that. But the tendency is to let that ruin what you do next or very much affect what you're doing next in a negative way. Learning to play always in the present, forgetting what lies behind or what has happened, and straining forward to what lies ahead. We can all testify that we're people who make mistakes, spiritually speaking. There were those days and moments in year 2021 that we would like to do over again, right? Yes. Yes. For myself as well as for you. We have sinned, done wrong, dishonored God and embarrassed ourselves. And that's going to happen in this new year as well. We have to learn to confess. To confess quickly when we mess up. To to confess fully so that we live not with guilt, not with fear, with regret, perhaps, but fear, no. Learning from the past, always. But living in the past, no, never. Forgetting what lies behind. Straining forward to what lies ahead. Wise counsel to a good athlete. Powerfully good counsel to a good Christian. And let me say here, when the Bible speaks about forgetting, it does not mean that we fail to remember unless we're senile or have some brain disorder. We can, of course, recall what we've done, the negative things, and so can God. But when it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, that God remembers our sins and our lawless acts no more, what it really means is that he can still, but he will not hold them against us. He will not hold them against us. He will not judge us for them. He will not punish. Once they're confessed, they're in that sense forgotten. He will not allow our past sin to influence his love for us. I love the words from Psalm 103. God simply does not treat us as our sins deserve. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise be to God. To run a winning race for Jesus, be a Christian who lives with a partial dissatisfaction, with a purposeful devotion, with a proper direction, and then, finally, with determination. Powerful determination. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal, says the apostle, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. And that word in the original carries with it a certain intensity. The Greeks use that word to describe a hunter who's hit a prey. But that prey continues to run. And the hunter is relentless in pursuing that animal. He perseveres. He refuses to give up. Determined to achieve the prize. Some athletes are like that too. They play with such intensity, such determination, such a will to win. And it pays off again and again and again. They're the ones who most often win the prize. They win the prize. Listen to the apostle speak. I'm in 2 Corinthians now. He says in verse 8 of chapter 4, he says, we are hard pressed on every side as we do ministry. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted. We're not abandoned. We're struck down. But we are not destroyed. A bit later, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Determination, determination. The apostle certainly had it. Do we have it? Think of it. God has made a determined effort to bring you to himself so that you can share in his everlasting glory. Satan tried in a host of ways to keep God's salvation from coming to this earth and entering into your heart and mind, because the last thing Satan wants is for you to become a Christian and to share in the everlasting prize. And I need but mention, you know, we came through Christmas, the decree of Herod wanting to eliminate that Christ child. Successful? No, but what an attempt. A bit later in the wilderness, those temptations, if you will but do this, if you will but now, I will reward. What temptations? What temptations? Even using one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, who said to Jesus on occasion, he says, "Lord, I'll never allow you to suffer. You can bank on it." When Jesus said that was a part of his mission, you know what Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't understand who I am and why I'm here and why I need to do that." And when he did that, and he was placed in the tomb, you know, the huge stone in front, in the guards to make sure that that body stayed in the tomb. Successful? No. But what attempts to ruin the plan and purpose of God to bring us to salvation, to everlasting glory? God won out. How determined are we to become and be the person, the people of God? Whatever the opposition, and there will be opposition, I want to ask you, as I ask myself, to run a determined race in this new year, so that we may achieve the prize, which is a far better prize than any earthly one, the prize of everlasting glory. Everlasting glory. In the smile of God, may I say, the well done. I want to close the message this morning with a little verse. I may have shared it before here at Faith Community, but I read it from time to time. I'm so blessed by it. It's a story about a frog, a determined frog. The little story goes like this, the verse. Two frogs. They fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic, he was a determined soul. The other one took a gloomy view. "We shall drown," cried the latter, without more ado. So with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and he said, "Goodbye." Said the other frog, with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I will not give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then I will die the more content." Bravely he swam till it would seem his struggles began to churn the cream. On top of the butter, at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? 'Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, just keep swimming around. I love that determination. I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to read from Philippians chapter 3 frequently in this year. Take a time out and let that coach help you understand again how to run a winning race for Jesus. I'm so blessed as I read that and I listen to that, and I trust you are and will be as well. Join me in prayer. Lord, we bless you for Holy Scripture again this morning. The Scriptures, they are such a helpful and needed training manual for us as Christians in our Christian living. Thank you for Philippians chapter 3. Perhaps we become somewhat sluggish or stagnant in our spiritual development, in our journey. Oh God, I pray that you will use these words to spur us on to new and needed spiritual growth, even in this new year, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I was a boy, grew up in a church. We never had a cadet club. But in all the churches I've served, we had cadet clubs, and I have come to love that cadet hymn, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that we do. Let's sing that hymn this morning. Stand, if you would, to sing the three verses.